Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another fantastic week with us. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We are going to kick off this episode like we do every week, and that's celebrating one of you, our amazing listeners, who's using our hashtag STRShareSunday. Of course, STR stands for short-term rental. On our Instagram channel, you will see us share one of you every single Sunday, but also here on the podcast. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing at Cozy Escapes. Ooh. I know. Don't you want to just go right now? Exactly. And it is in Shenandoah in Virginia. And I think it's plural because they're getting ready to open their second one. But I was just my breath was taken away. Please take a look. Go follow them on Instagram. The way their imagery that they have on their Instagram, you immediately want to go to this destination. I actually want to ask them if one of them's in advertising because it's that well done. These photos are unreal. But one thing that I really I like that they do is they're very family friendly, and they really highlight that throughout their entire listing. And they even encourage you certain things to bring. Like they say their property is family friendly, but they remind you of some things that you might forget that might make your stay a little more lovely because they are out in the woods. And I think that they did an excellent job. And this is for anybody to keep in mind if you are off the beaten path. They have done a wonderful job in their listing, letting people know exactly how far they are off the road, that there will be gravel, that there will be rocky roads, that there are hills. They let people know that their minivan can make it, but it is very exciting drive. So just if you have anything that might seem second nature to you, but someone that's coming to your home, it might not be something they're used to. It's not a flat driveway going into a carport or garage. You might want to let them know about that so they're not being surprised right at the beginning of their trip. I just thought that Rachel and John did an excellent job at letting those guests know that, but also knowing once they make that trip through the gravel to the 3 miles back to their place, it is going to be very special for them. So well done, Rachel and John. Give them some love on Instagram and then also on the travel agencies that they're booking on. But thanks for using our hashtag, and we can't wait to share someone else next week. Sarah.
It's going to be a good episode.
We always
listeners.
Say this, but we always mean it.
We do always mean it. Because listeners, I don't know. We'll give you a little backstage tour of the podcast. But Annette and I work very hard on bringing you the best content each and every week. We protect every episode with our, with a warm hug. We do not take for granted you tuning in to listen with us. So we just want you to know that. That's why we're always like, this is a great episode, because it is. We're very excited.
We get excited. Yeah, we put time into it. And as promised on our last episode, if you were able to listen to that one yet, and if you haven't, we encourage you to go back. It will always be there for you. Sarah and I went to the VRMA, Vacation Rental Management Association International event. And we are so excited because the guests that we have on our show, beautiful things happen when you're at a networking event. And we just bonded and jived with her almost immediately, not even knowing how unbelievable.
She was.
Yeah, we didn't know really in our presence at the time. But as the days unfurled and as we got to connect with her more and more, we really understood that first meeting with her, it was as special as we thought it was. So Sarah, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest today?
We have Angie Leone here on the podcast. Get ready, listeners. It's going to be a treat. She is the owner and CEO of Coconut Condos, a vacation rental management company on the beautiful island of Maui. So we want to be her friend. Founded in 2011, Angela's company was recently named the 2021, that is this year's, Vacation Rental Management Company of the Year at this year's VRMA International Conference. So that's the conference we just went to. And in 2019, Angela was named the Small Business Person of the Year. So she knows what she's doing. She knows what she's talking about. Listeners, today's episode is going to be jam-packed. She started as a home-based venture with one vacation rental, her own. Angie Leone has expanded to a robust 10-person plus operation with 60 vacation rentals across West Maui. She loves reading, writing, traveling, surfing, and spending days at the beach with her husband, two sons, and their dog, Wrigley. Angie, welcome to the show. We are so excited to dig into you and your brilliant mind and your business and your story, all the things. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, you guys. It really was such a treat to meet you in San Antonio. I'm so glad Justin Ford and Sharon Clark introduced us. So thanks to them for making that introduction. And I think that's one of my favorite things about going to those conferences is just the amazing people that you get to meet and continue friendships with over the years. So thank you so much for having me.
We couldn't be more excited.
We are so excited. So listeners, and we would be remiss not to tell you that Angie is coming to us live from one of her other vacation rentals in Nashville. So she is a vacation rental, enthusiast through and through. She's keeping it real here. So Angie, number one, I know everybody listening is just like, oh my gosh, Maui, this is awesome. How did she start this with one? Is she from Maui? Did her family have a place there? Like, how was Coconut Condos birthed and where did all of this start from in the beginning?
Oh, yes. Well, I feel like it's a story similar to many vacation rental company owners that you just never intended to actually do it. I have my master's in bilingual speech therapy, and I did that for 10 years. And my husband and I were like, where should we go live? We lived in San Diego, and then we went to Kauai, and then we went to Vail, and we found ourselves in Maui, and we love to surf, and I got a job as a speech therapist there, and then we had children and I wanted to stay home. And so we had bought a condo of our own, and that's the one you mentioned in the bio. And we moved off island for a brief bit and started renting it. And that was kind of the birth of Coconut Condos when we came back, moved back. And we had lived in our condo for 4 years and had developed some relationships with other owners there. And we started renting ours. And some of the other owners reached out and asked if I would manage theirs for them. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm starting a little company. I'm a stay-at-home mom right now. And that was how it started, just in our extra bedroom and, home-based business with the baby at home. And now here we are.
And how long ago that was?
2011, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So rapid growth in the 10 years. So this building then, because I know a lot of our listeners, there are some that have some properties in Hawaii, but I feel like Hawaii is like this whole other world when it comes to vacation rentals, rules and regulations, things of that nature. In this condo, was it ever, in this condo building, was it pretty normal that people would have short-term rentals? Like they were allowed to do that? Was that part of the buy-in process with the homeowners, the condo association?
Yes. Yeah. So it's zoned hotel.
Okay.
So there are hotel condotels. And so no zoning issues for that property. That wasn't anything that I faced or worried about until more recently through COVID. So that really was never an issue. On Maui, it's more of the homes that are trying to get permitted that face, problems. But this particular resort was fine. It's zoned hotel. So yeah.
And did you live there full time though in the condo before you started renting it out?
We did. We lived there for four. So we had Jack, our first one, and he was in the second bedroom. Then we moved and came back and we were renting ours out, short-term rental. So we rented another owner's above ours. And that's the owner that then, proceeded to help me start my business by hiring me. And when we moved back, this is funny because we just look back and think, gosh, you know, you can do anything. My husband was working remotely for Microsoft. I had started Coconut Condos, very small kind. And Jack had his bedroom in the second bedroom. And Ryder, our second child, we didn't have any more bedrooms, but we had big showers. So we put his crib in the shower. That was his bedroom. I was like, I don't know. Don't call CPS. There's plenty of airflow. But I worked at the counter. Mike worked in the kitchen. The printer was next to our bed. And we were like, here we are. We're making this work. You know, you do what you got to do. And that's where it all started.
And so I love that you shared that. I feel so many times we get people who slide into the Thanks for Visiting DMs or send us an email. And they feel like, is there some official fancy way they get started in either their own short-term rental or managing for others? And I love how it can be a very organic, make it work behind the scenes operation. And then every day you get a little bit better.
Totally. And you know, when I first started with one and then three and then four, and people were just, it was just word of mouth. And I had the two babies and I would have things delivered to the condo and there would be like boxes of shampoo stacked up by the front door. And then, you know, fast forward a couple of years and we eventually bought a house and the garage turned into a mini Costco and we had piles of Crate and Barrel pillows like falling over onto our children. And, you know, that was our story. It was kind of like bootstrapped and the side hustle for a long time.
Sure. And did you even know when that first the condo owner, in the same building, did you even have a contract? Were you just like, okay, I'll help you and we'll figure out what I charge you? Like, did you have any mentors in the beginning or were you really just flying by the seat of your pants going, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing well for myself. Why not help other people? Did you have any sort of plan at all?
No. Once he asked me to do that, then I was like, okay, I'm doing it for myself. And I've sort of figured out, you know, I had my guest contract. I'd figured out how to do it for myself. But once he asked me to do it, I was like, all right, now I need to actually form a little company. And I, you know, formed my LLC and did all of the things that I needed to do to become official, because I wanted to do it the right way. And so I went through those steps, but definitely was just learning as I went. And that's when I started going to the conferences. I was like, okay, you know, as a speech therapist, we had our annual conferences every year that you would go for continuing education. And I'm like, I had that model. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I needed to go and just learn as much as I could about the industry.
We love that. That's what we shared last week on the episode is there's always so much to learn and whatever profession you're going to take at any point in your life, it doesn't matter. There is a professional network somewhere that you can connect with. And it doesn't have to be live and in person. It can be, you know, on our podcast or we have a community, but something like just start to look around and those things will come, you know, they'll become very clear that there are places that you can go and learn from.
Oh, nice.
I want you to I want you to brag about yourself a little bit now as we get into a little bit more of your story. So in 2019, you won Maui's Small Business Person of the Year. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what made you stand out to your community as someone who would receive that recognition? What was it about what you were doing that made you stand out in Maui?
Well, I think a big reason the success of our company is our team. You know, you guys asked me, are you running this company while you're in Nashville? I said, no, my COO runs the company. I have really, really amazing people. And I think you surround yourself with amazing people and you go far, you know? And so I would definitely say it's the team and, you know, Lisa's great leadership. I think the other thing is just our commitment to the community and the world at large, and just coming from a field where every day I knew I was making a difference. When I shifted to this industry, I personally had to figure out a way to make it feel worthwhile to me and meaningful to get up and do the work every day. And for me, that was finding ways to give back. And so, you know, I think those things go a long way, and you don't do them for the accolades, but I think sometimes that's just comes, you know, those come along.
Yeah. Well, and the accolades are great too, honestly, because that brings recognition to what you are doing and can inspire others to do those great things as well.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, like, I've talked to my team about it. You know, we'll host dreamers from Dream Foundation that are terminally ill adults, and their last wish is to come to Maui. And so we get this amazing opportunity to host these people that have less than 9 months to live and work with other small business owners to make these dreams come true. And then we write an article about it. And the article, I've always said, is not to shine the light on us in any way. It's to shine the light on this organization and the opportunity to give back, so that then more people reach out and say, we want to donate, we want to help, we want to be part of it. And so, yeah, to your point, like, I think the awards are just a way to amplify doing good.
Absolutely.
No, that is amazing. And we'll make sure, we'll dig in a little bit more about Dreamers and Dream Foundation. So our listeners can become aware of that. Angie, you're at 60 properties. I'm sure that went from like one, you said, to two, to three, to four. And then let us know, when did you bring on that first person to help you? And then when you were like, okay, I'm actually going to pour, you know, a little bit of fuel on this fire. Like, it's time to, I need to get more properties to sustain maybe your team. When did you start to transition over from, this is Angie in the bedroom, you know, doing a second career in order to be there with her kids? Was there a tipping point for you where you're like, okay, I'm either going to stop and be, you know, five properties and I'm done? Or, you know, what was that like sit down moment where you were like, okay,
I'm going to do this
going, or I'm just going to keep, you know, I'm at the stopping point. Were those, was that a conversation with yourself or your husband or your team, or how did that happen? I'm sure there was a point in time you had to make a decision there.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple things on that. I do remember going to my first VRMA when I had, I think, about 9 condos I was managing, and I was doing the accordion file system. And I would move folders, you know, this is like old school. And I had Outlook calendars with different colors. I mean, I kind of just like made my system, right? And it worked for me. And, you know, as they went to like check in, I moved the folder, but I was like, this is kind of dumb. Like, there's got to be a better, smarter way to do this. And I'm trying to do this between naps, and like, I need something smarter. So I went to conference really looking for software. I don't want to cut and paste the same email so many times, right? So software, everyone told me, you're too small to get software. And I was like, I don't care. I'll pay money so that I don't have to cut and paste the same email 20 times and I can spend more time with my kids. And then I hired my first employee around that same time. And again, it was a choice of, I can probably still keep doing this and not spend as much money on another person. But for me, balancing being a mom and a small business owner, for me, the money was worth it to have the help and to not, just be run by the company. I think one thing I've always struggled with being a mom and a business owner is being present and turning off the work. And it was probably at the next conference that Justin Ford told me, I run my company with Real Voice and Ring Central and an iPad. And I went, oh, okay, I don't want to be a slave to my phone anymore, because I was taking all the calls from guests and owners and everyone while I'm at the beach with my kids any time of day. And so I put those things into place with business hours on the phone, on my cell phone. And that was one step in changing my life.
Our listeners are going to be like, I'm sorry, Angie, what was that again? What are those? What is that magic formula? Can you just unpack that tech stack real quick? One more time, because a lot of our listeners have not yet even got into managing their own or multiple. So real quick, just one more time, that tech stack. Is that still helpful for you today?
Still use those today. And that was probably year two or three, maybe. I don't even remember.
Okay.
So RingCentral or any phone system, I guess Google Voice or whatever, where you can put hours on your phone number. Mm-hmm. And when we first started, you could code it so it would be like 000 was any phone number that was coming in that was, if someone had pressed 1 for guests or reservations, at least I knew then it was a guest. I wasn't like, who is calling me and what are they calling about?
Yeah.
So I picked RingCentral because that was referred to me, but any voice system like that where you can establish hours. And then once your hours are closed and the phones aren't coming to you, you need somewhere for those calls to be routed to. And to this day, I started with and still am with Real Voice, and they're based in Memphis. And they take any of the after hours calls. So once you know, whatever your time is, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you route the calls to them and they pick up and answer, and they'll charge you a fee per call, or they'll take reservations for you and charge you a small commission, whatever you want. And there's other companies that do similar things, but those two things really helped me put boundaries on my life as it got bigger and felt like it was taking over.
Sure.
And my purpose was never to, I wasn't like trying to run this big company. I just wanted a side hustle to keep me busy, you know, for spending cash. But it kind of started snowballing, and I was like, hold on a second. I need some parameters.
Well, what was the difference though? Because you're telling me you've got your accordion file and you've got your kids and you've got this. So what was it about Coconut Condos that the guest and the owners were both drawn to your company? What do you think you had going on and for both those people to be drawn to you, to book, to stay, and then also to hire you to manage?
On the owner side, in the beginning, it was just word of mouth, and I had lived on that property and people knew I had been invested in committees and getting solar panels put on the roof, and I cared and I knew the people and the players, and I think they just trusted me to care, and they knew I owned a condo in that same complex, and so I was going to be advocating for them and their property, and I think it was just a lot of trust. And you know, in the beginning, I just put the listings on, you know, Airbnb and VRBO, and then I got software and chose LiveRes, and then I had my own website. And that was, I remember early on, again, people were like, you're too small for software. I'm like, I don't care. But I went to bed because, you know, when you're just doing third parties, well, you can instant book now. This was before instant book. But I went to bed and I woke up and I had bookings, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even have to be awake.
I made money while I slept.
Get reservations. Get reservations. So yeah. And then, you know, that was the early days, putting those kind of boundaries in place. And then we got to 19 units, and my husband was still working full-time, traveling quite a bit, going back and forth to Seattle. And we had always said that when we got to 30 condos, we could afford for him to, join the company and transition to this as our plan A. Well, when we were at 19 condos, he he was given the choice to move to Seattle or resign. And we were faced with a big decision. And we obviously chose to stay in Maui, and he resigned from Microsoft. But it was well before the 30. So, you know, kind of half. And we took a huge leap of faith, and we had never marketed the company. It was just through that word of mouth, trust kind of thing. But he's a graphic designer. So he joined the team, and we were like, okay, I guess we need to market. We need to grow. And within 6 months, we had doubled. And then we were like, oh, shoot. Like, we need help. We have 40 units and we need staff. And so then we hired, we hired Lisa, who's still with me. We hired, I think we had 5 people in our guest bedroom lined with Target desks, and we couldn't even hear each other on the phone. And my husband and I, and my husband was, you know, had his office in the back bedroom. And we met one day in the hall and we were like, we need office space. We got to get this out of our house. And so we went, we bought an office in a warehouse, moved in, and we're still there. And we got our garage back. We got our house back. And, you know, yeah, now here we are.
It's so, like, you phase into, you know, you're out of your training pants as a business. And you know what I mean? Like, we all dream of that, like moving it out of your, although I suppose with COVID, which we want to get into that with you soon here.
Yeah.
You know, you then, a lot of businesses move back into the home if they ever moved out of it. And they're like, well, I'm back here again. So talk us through that. So, because I mean, Maui was affected a lot differently than we were here on the mainland, right? And so what was that like for you? I mean, you were shut. People couldn't even, you can't get there. You know, it's not like you can drive your car across state borders. So talk us through 2020 to 2021.
Yeah, how you navigated that. And yeah.
How are you still, you're still around, you're winning awards in 2020. How did you do that?
I will tell you that the last 18 months were the hardest.
Yeah.
18 months for our team, for me, for all of us. It was really, really hard and challenging. Hawaii was affected and definitely in a way different than, I mean, Nashville was pretty impacted too. But we were shut down like negative for about 13 months. And I think there were things that we didn't even realize we had in place that helped us get through it. And one of those was my team, which we mentioned. They are all just like amazing, super loyal. We were transparent the whole way through of like, we don't know what's happening. This is what we're doing today. Can't promise you anything for tomorrow, but we're going to do our best. And so we did have to lay off quite a bit of our staff. Everybody else went to cut hours, cut pay. And we just kept talking and we just kept, you know, like, saying this is where we're at today. And now everyone's back. Everybody came back that we offered to come back. And I'm super thankful for them. One of the things that, interestingly enough, a couple conferences ago, Lisa and I presented on remote work, and that was before COVID. And it's something that I was a little bit resistant to, but she was good about kind of convincing me. We had a few of our employees that were really interested in doing remote work. And, you know, living on an island, most of our families are on the mainland. So they want to go and visit them. And when you go, you don't go for a weekend or a week. You go for an extended period of time. Here, I've been here a month. And so that was really important to them. And two of our key employees wanted this, and we didn't want to lose them. And so we had implemented some things to make remote work available before COVID. And then when COVID hit, all of us going remote really didn't cause any problems. I mean, we were so thankful we had already set up all those systems ahead of time. And the other thing is I have, you know, financial mentors in place that really walked me through. I mean, I was like, I don't even know, you know, you have to explore all the options with the unknowns, but having some people in place that really are smarter than you. I have a CFO that I contract 4 hours a month, and he was vital in helping me like strategize and brainstorm and figure out, you know, how to make money stretch and My dad, I'm from the Midwest. My dad taught me to save and have a nest egg. And my CPA was like my financial therapist. I think, you know, having all of those things in place beforehand, when crisis hits, you realize you can do more than you thought. And believe me, there were many days where I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I seriously, I don't know. But I guess I've come out of it this side. You know, after winning that award, you're kind of blown away. You're like, what? We just like barely squeaked by. I feel like we're just still coming out of this. I don't even understand. But then you're like, wait, hold on. Like, we survived.
Right.
Like, really hard thing. And kudos to my team. And yeah.
How did your owners, how did you handle them during that time? Because like you said, you know, a lot of vacation rentals, short-term rentals in the, you know, on the mainland, the first 8 weeks were kind of shocking. But then after that, people started, oh, wait, I'm going to get my car and drive. And so there was this huge uptick of like people booking and booking for long periods of time. And oh my gosh, it's back.
Yep.
You obviously, I don't think you were feeling that. How did you navigate that while like other things are booming? You're still shut down. And these owners where you're just like, there's no revenue. What were those conversations like? Did you lose some of those owners during that time? Or, you know, did they transition to or sell?
Yeah, I mean, kind of a little bit of everything. Another thing that helped us, me personally, get through was I have these two advocacy group or mastermind and advisory board groups that I was part of. And they were, you know, business owners like me, but all over the mainland. And it was really great to walk through COVID with those groups because, you know, monthly I could hop on and hear what they were going through. But none of them, like you said, were going through what we were in Hawaii. So sometimes I would get off and want to cry because they were all booming about 2 months in and we were like, nope, still shut down, still shut down, still shut down, still shut down, still, and you know, every month. But yes, I mean, for our owners, we tried to communicate as consistently as we could. Lisa writes an owner's newsletter monthly, and sometimes we were doing it weekly, bi-weekly, just with updates from our governor and our mayor and the new changes. And some people went to long-term rentals during the time, you know, for like a year, and we got those back. Cool. Some sold. And, you know, people had to do what they had to do to get through. And we totally understood that. So we lost a bit, but, you know, we also had an opportunity to take over a front desk where we manage units. And we've gotten, you know, we've grown from that opportunity. So, you know, some give and take.
Yeah, that's good.
So what, now that you're on the other side of it-ish, right? What are your plans for the next year or two? Are you planning to grow more? I think we said you have about 60 units right now. Is that your sweet spot? Is that where you like to stay? What's going on for you in the next several months?
I think Lisa and I have always talked about like 75 would be great. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, real estate has skyrocketed as well everywhere and in Maui. And so there's a lot of buying and selling going on. So with that, sometimes you lose units, then you work to get them back. And so you're constantly, you know, doing business development to try and earn those new units. So yeah, I think we always have a growth mindset. We are, you know, happy and content and thankful for what we have, but always, you know, looking to grow and provide more opportunities for our team. So yeah, I think 75 would be great.
All right. So if anybody's listening and you're buying a place in Maui, let them know we sent you. I have a question just about your direct booking site at Airbnb and Vrbo. Can you just share with our listeners a little bit, how does that traffic come in, it being in Maui? Because I think, oh my gosh, I feel like Maui is probably on a lot of people's wish lists, a lot of people's bucket list. Do you feel like it's more direct bookings, or is it Airbnb? Is it Vrbo? Where does that traffic come from for your company?
Yeah. So, we look at this every year. We do like a homeowners' business meeting when they come in for their annual meeting, and we do a PowerPoint presentation for them. And so this is always one of the points of data that we like to share. And it's generally stayed the same over the last couple of years, but about 50% of our bookings are direct through our website. And then Airbnb and VRBO have shared the other 50%. So sometimes it's 30% Airbnb, 20% VRBO. Sometimes it's more 25-25. But we definitely prefer direct bookings, but we realize that we do need the exposure of the third party sites as well. So they play a big role.
What do you do to expose? Oh, that sounds terrible. What do you do to expose yourself, Angie?
How do you get those direct bookings? Yeah, that I repeat out of that 50. Yeah. So 50%, 25% refer, like they're coming back a second time. Like, talk to us about retention and then how do you get that? Yeah. Like, where are these direct bookings coming from?
Yes. From our Coconut Condos website. And we've worked with, there was a great couple at our kids' school that had moved from Google. They moved from California and they both were Google employees. And so they did our SEO for us. So,
wow.
I remember going to, I would go to sessions and be our man SEO. Like, I'm going to learn all this. And I was like, why? No. I do not need to know this. I can hire someone to do this part. This is way, way over my head. So I would say, you know, when you get to a certain point, if you want to have your own website, it definitely is worthwhile to have somebody do some of that work for you. And then, you know, it just pays back in returns when you're getting those bookings. You know, we've social media, but everybody talks about, you know, social media doesn't really pay off in terms of bookings. You need to have a presence, but it's your SEO and your repeat guests. And so when you have been around 10 years, you do certainly get people coming back saying, we always stay at Ainanalo. We always love coming to stay with Coconut Condos. And you love hearing that. So
have you dabbled into any sort of paid advertising on social platforms, or have you, it really just is SEO and repeat guests?
We've done a little bit of Google AdWords and a little bit of like boosting Facebook posts, but not a lot.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you certainly can go down that line, but we really haven't. And we have a more modest marketing budget, I would say.
You would think too. So many, you know, Annette always tells a story when she started hosting here in Columbus that she's like, people come to Columbus and stay. Like, what? No, they don't. You think about Maui and you think, oh my gosh, they must be coming in droves, but is it oversaturated? Is it, or you know, if someone wanted to buy a short-term rental in Maui today in a condo, like would they instantly do well if they had a great manager because of its nature of being a destination? Talk to us about that.
Well, at this moment in time, it's interesting. Generally, I would say yes, but so real estate prices are high. Mm-hmm. That is something that we do look at for people when they're looking to buy, is doing an assessment of what you're paying and what you're going to be able to get in, you know, revenue and rental revenue. And really, like, lately, it's the higher the price point, the more potential you have to make money, because you're going to have higher nightly rates to offset that. And the prices are pretty high right now. So at like a lower price point, I'm not sure how profitable it will be. Mm-hmm. But that's just totally tied to our high real estate prices. Maui is expensive.
Yes.
I mean, it's awesome and it is a wonderful place to live and visit, but it is expensive. And so you kind of have to really assess, why do I want a place in Maui? It's probably not going to be your most profitable location to buy a vacation rental. If you love coming and you want property in Hawaii, then yes. But I mean, I sold my condo in Hawaii and bought a place in Nashville for a reason. So, you know, I live in Maui. I like to visit here. It's more profitable for me to own a short-term rental here.
Interesting.
So, yeah. But, you know, obviously the last 2 years were weird in terms of people visiting, but I do believe that Hawaii will always remain a place that people want to visit. You're always going to have demand. The unique part about our calendar is that it's always high season pretty much, except for September and May. So we don't have, like in Colorado, you know, you have your mud seasons or where you just really don't have anyone coming. We never have that. Like our lowest would be 55% occupancy, and that's like 1 month out of the year. And it averages 75 to 80% occupancy year round. So it's a steady flow of visitors, typically, if you're not talking about COVID. Whereas like here in Nashville, my friends at Stay Local manage my unit. You guys love them.
Yes.
They're awesome. But the trend is different here. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. And
right.
Then the week is very slow and shut down. So it's, you know, different by location.
Yeah. No, good. I want to, before we get too far into I don't want to not dig into two very important things. One of them is, and Angie really blew me away with this idea. This goes back to what she just said, you know, Nashville, it's a lot of Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In Maui, it's a lot of week-long stays, which they're buying a lot of groceries most of the time, or going to Costco, I think you said. They're doing a lot of shopping. Angie and her team have this unbelievable give back with their local food bank. Can you share with our listeners and listeners, like, really slow down right now, listen to what Angie's saying, because I feel like this is possible for every single host to participate in this program that Angie has started for Coconut Condo. So can you walk us through, Angie, how you have this give back with the food bank?
Yeah, it's not my idea. I did not make this up. I just loved it and implemented it. So again, at VRMA 1 year, Sonder Project was there, and they gave out these bags, and they said, we'll mail you 100 more bags when you get home. And that's where it started. So they mailed me these bags, and they were brown paper bags, and it just had instructions on the outside of what to put in them. Since then, they don't send the bags anymore. We have our own plastic bags from our Maui food bank. We leave the bag in the condo for the guest. We have a lot of people that say, I'm leaving. I have all this food from Costco and I don't want to throw it away. What can I do with it? Well, certainly our cleaners can take it, but our cleaners have a lot of the same food. They don't want it anymore. And so the guest has instructions on the bag. It's on the counter when they come in that they can put anything that is non-perishable and unopened in the bag. They leave it on the counter. Then our inspectors, when they come and check the unit, they take the bag back to our warehouse, and we have a bin for the Maui Food Bank that they drop the food in. And then Maui Food Bank comes and picks that up once it's full. The beautiful thing about this is when we were shut down for COVID, my boys and my husband and I, we usually do trips in the summer and we couldn't. And so we went and volunteered every Thursday, because the line to get food on Maui was 2.5 hours every Thursday. People lined up in their cars for 2.5 hours to get food because all of the hospitality jobs were shut down for one box of food. So it came totally full circle that we've been doing this for 10 years. And here we are, like, actually getting to hand food to people that need it. So it's such an easy way for all of us that have one rental or 100 rentals to be able to just use what's already there. And it's super easy.
Love. Like, I, like, basically, like, stopped Angie. I was like, this idea is, because we get a lot of listeners, a lot of hosts that they want to figure out, like, how can I start to give back to our community? How can I, like, people can see that as a host, I'm doing something positive. And I think this right here is something that is so easy. It's, you know, you're not spending any money. Obviously, the guest has already went to the store. They've already shopped. It's stuff that's non-perishable. It's not like you have to run to the food bank after every single guest. You can let it pile up, per se, until there's enough to take there. So maybe it's quarterly or monthly or however much you have. But not only that, I think it's one of those, Sarah and I call it elevated reciprocity. It's where the guest also feels good. Like, good, I didn't just have to throw away all of this food. So the guest can feel good about it. You as a host can feel good about it. And then your community food bank can also feel good about it. So that is just, like, across the board winning. And listeners, like Angie said, like, it can be something, you could have one, you know, you could clip something that's, you know, that you have laminated or something on a paper bag every time. You know, this doesn't have to be custom anyways. You could do one thing and just let them know, leave this and we'll donate it. I just thought that idea was awesome. Listeners, if you start to implement this, please let Sarah and I know and we'll let Angie know. But if we can make that impact, you know, across the board, every host that participates obviously is will help to make a dent. And then last but not least, Angie, if you could just really quickly touch on the Dream Foundation, you had mentioned it earlier, and let our listeners know how they could potentially participate in that too.
Yes, I would love for everyone to know about them. So as I mentioned, they're like, they're sort of like Make-A-Wish, but for adults. And so you have to be terminally ill, I think with 9 to 12 months left to live. And folks can request a dream from Dream Foundation. They're based in Santa Barbara. They have locations that are highly sought after. A lot of Disney World, Hawaii is a big one, of course, going to Pearl Harbor for veterans. But the list goes on, and you might be surprised that your location would be somewhere that someone would want to visit. So the way it works is we donate the accommodations. They have an agreement with Southwest Airlines to provide flights as well. And then we do work with other small business owners. I have a lot of friends that have businesses, spas and restaurants and magic shows and things like that, boat cruises. And we do like to work and create a whole itinerary for our dreamers. But if all you did was provide the accommodations, you are giving these dreamers the last wish of their life. It is so amazing, and it's an honor to meet them. And so much so that I've kind of made it a rule that whenever a dreamer comes, one of my team has to meet the dreamer, just because it is life-changing. Mm-hmm. And so I can give you guys the information if people are interested in reaching out to my contact at Dream Foundation and get on a list to say like, hey, if you have a dreamer in my location, please reach out to me.
Yes, we will definitely, we'll link to the foundation on our show notes, but we'll get that information from Angie too and make sure that, maybe we'll even make sure it's in the email, but we'll have it on tap if anybody reaches out to us about that. So, no, love that. And so hosts, this is the stuff, these are the things that you can do and you can contribute. And we encourage you to get creative with it. It doesn't have to be these two, you know, there's plenty of things in your local area that you can participate in and connect with other hosts and let them know that that's what's going on also to get the word out.
Angie, before we wrap up this fantastic episode, is there anything else you want to leave with our listeners who are, you know, a lot of them have yet to purchase their first short-term rental, but man, are they listening to all the episodes and they're soaking in everything they can. To those who own or we call it co-hosting here on the show, you know, property managed for others, is there any tip or piece of advice you would leave with them to help encouraging them to just keep going?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like I said, there were so many times that I was like, I don't know if this is worth it. I don't know if I can do it. But you just keep doing what the next thing. Just keep doing the one next thing. And it can feel very overwhelming. And, you know, managing a property is like, it's like 25 different jobs, right?
Yes.
And reservations and marketing. And like, I don't know any of this, but it can feel really overwhelming. And I think that if you can just like bring it down to like, what is the next thing I need to do? The one next thing, the one next right thing. And take it in bite sizes. Just don't let yourself get too overwhelmed. It's worth it in the end.
Ooh, that was good. Yeah, that was really good.
And I know that our, and me included, honestly, you know, we manage about 30, and it's hearing, and that was why EVRMA was so great too for Annette and myself. It's hearing that other people are also just doing that next thing, that next step, the next thing on the to-do list, because it can, it's, we heard at VRMA too, that every property is a snowflake. And that is why, you know, I come from hotels and it was, is easy compared to what we're doing now. You know what I mean? Like hotels with 500 rooms compared to 30 houses. It's like, you don't even know.
Yeah. Different HVAC, different parking, different refrigerator, different washing machine. Yeah. All the,
I just can't. So kudos to you and everything. And how, you know, you didn't just, I mean, you have such a big responsibility of, you know, the owner's investment, the guest experience, the dreamers, the food, your awesome team, and how much you clearly love them. So thanks for being such an amazing person. If our listeners wanted to connect with you, what is the best way that they could reach out to Coconut Condos or you?
Oh, yeah. You can email me is the best way. Our website's coconutcondos.com and my email is Angie@coconutcondos.com. So feel free to reach out.
Well, we're gonna say this on the air because we're putting it out into the world that Sarah and I need to come to Maui
and visit Angie.
Yes, you do.
But listeners, 100%. Truly, please check out Angie's website. Listen to this episode. Soak something in from her. I think she's truly an inspiration. And honestly, she is 2021 Vacation Rental Management Company of the Year. Like that's
what?
Huge.
You just
congrats again. Yeah. Like that is a huge, huge honor. And we are honored to have you on the show. And hopefully this will not be the last. I know Angie's going to come and be an insider and talk to our community. So if you're a part of our community, if you're part of HBMM, you know you'll see her soon and be able to ask her any of those questions too. So Angie, awesome. Thank you so much. And we hope to see you soon.
Yay. Aloha, y'all.
Aloha. Listeners, my name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.